The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, everybody. 6 a.m., 710, KNUS, Denver's Talk Station. Good to have everyone here. Thursday, it's going to be sunny, very hot, 98 for the high. Tomorrow, Friday, 95. Evening storms, and the weekend works that way as well. A couple of things, of course, I think by now, but the ZZ Top bassist, Dusty Hill, is dead at 72 years of age. Playing a lot of ZZ Top music this morning. Man, I have a sound system, and I've had sound systems in all the motorcycles since, I don't know, I sold a Deuce, and I got had a Road King, and I'm trying to think of these bikes before I got a sound system, and it makes a lot of difference. And how many miles you think we rode out there with Billy Gibbons and Frank Beard, and his name was Joseph, was his real name. Joe was Joe Hill, Dusty Hill, and man, miles and miles and miles, and I saw them play in the Buffalo Chip in Sturgis. We're going to have the guy who runs the chip on the air. Tomorrow, by the way, Jeff Decker's on the show, one of my true favorite people. He's a sculptor and a motorcyclist, collector, historian. And I talk about gearing up for Sturgis. And I'm texting with people this morning about making the ride. And so that's coming our way. Interesting conversation. The last, I don't know, months and months and months of fist fight radio, it's pretty much what it's turned into. But it dawned on me yesterday, and doing some thinking about why people do so disbelieve almost everything and anything. And the government of the United States of America has served up example after example after example of fraud, lies, killing people, mandating things, getting away, literally getting away with it. This column that's up now that's getting some attention. Our website is 710KNUS/Peter Boyles, and I wrote, it's on the Cry of the Hawk, and talking about the Gulf of Tonkin and Yellow Cake uranium, a series of lies. And so now we come to this, and any and all levels, now the lies are out. So it's open lines asking, you know, when that moment came for you. Wait a minute. And Blaze, I love his name, is kind enough to stay. He was the last caller in the end of the hour, and he's back up with us. All right, man, so go ahead. It's your turn again.
That's a lot of commercials, Peter.
I'm hip. Yeah, I'm hip.
Well, I don't know. Like I was saying, you know, the whole Chad thing, you know, that was another turning point for me. And your caller before me was talking about the power that the World War II generation had as far as voting power, financial power. He's right. You know, when the World War II generation died off, things began to change rapidly. You know, evidently, we don't have the power that our parents had, you know, as far as...
But the, I think, and this may be naive, it was a different... there was a different set of rules. There was...
Well, there was. The people had morals and principles, and you didn't get away with stuff, you know? Like, I've heard it said on your radio program that you didn't get away with anything. We didn't have cell phones, but we had mom phone, you know.
Yeah, but there was
mom, called your mom, and by the time you got home, your mom knew what you did, you know.
But I don't know if it's that, or I do believe that at the end of the Second World War, the rise of the multinational corporations and the military-industrial complex, those two variables changed this country. When the multinationals could strip the means of production out of this country that supplied the jobs for my dad and his brothers and my mom's, you know, sister's husbands and me as a kid. When they took those jobs into the third world, or took them particularly into the PRC, or took them to Pakistan, and they took the infrastructure, what Karl Marx calls the means of production, and they took it into the third world and lost these jobs, and then they had to go defend their places, and they used the military to do so. And things for questing for raw materials or wanting to simply control. On one side, there's Soviet Union. On the other side, there's us. And we support third world dictators who are horrible people. From the Shah of Iran, I'll give you a list of people that we supported. And now all of this, like the chickens coming home to roost, and the great sadness of America leaving Bagram Air Force Base at night without telling the Afghans we were leaving.
Well, you mentioned chickens. You know, I remember my dad saying when Castro came up here from Cuba for help, they laughed at him because he brought his chickens.
Oh, they did. They brought the chickens into
the
hotel.
Well, I look around my neighborhood, and everywhere I look, there's chickens now.
Yeah. Well, Castro, they brought the chickens, and they'd stayed in Harlem. It's a really interesting story. When he went to the UN, Castro's really an amazing. He could really play the strike the right chords when he wanted to. But when they came to the U.S., he was going to speak at the U.N., and he would not stay. And they wanted to open the doors for him in, you know, the finest hotels in New York City. And he went into Harlem, stayed in Harlem.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff.
And
he's who he is.
Hanging with the people he knew. The little people.
But at the same time.
We're the little people out here.
It's the rise of Malcolm X and the rise of black nationalism. And that struck a chord. Now, you know, Whitey can sit there and think that wasn't important, but that was important.
Hey, I'm gonna get off here, but I got one more comment. Your old man and my old man would have got along real good. You know, my old man raised in Wheeling, West Virginia, coal miner family, and he talks a lot of stuff that your dad taught.
Well, one of the things I've told this story again probably too many times. Chuck Bonawell and Mark Crowley and I are in Cleveland for the and this is when, in spite of what they say today, the Colorado delegation up and walked out because it was Donald Trump.
Right
now,
right.
Look. I watched it. Don't let them tell you it didn't happen because it happened, and I know the people that led the walkout. Having said that, we're walking, you know, we're in this big arena, and Chuck and I and Mark are just, you know, stretching and walking. I see, I don't know, three, four guys coming. Leisure suits, you know, the double knits, the old double knit leisure suits. And they had coal miner helmets on, not just, you know, like you could see when the super came out in the mill or, you know, they'd have those clean white helmets on. You know, they never had. And these guys, they had beat up, you know, like lamp helmets, and they had stickers on them.
Dents and coal dust.
Oh, you know, they worked. And I went over to the guy, and I broke from the guys. And I just did that how we grew up, where Ian's from, you know. And they were from, like, Parker's someplace, I don't know, you know, in Logan County or one of those really tough places. And they were there.
The old man taught us early and young when we were about 7, 8 years old and sat us down and said, there's two kinds of people in the world, son, the haves and the have-nots.
You.
Which one do you think you are?
And you
and of
are.
Of course, I answered have, and he went, oh, no.
We're not. But those guys.
On a sad note, Dusty, rest in peace, brother.
Yeah,
you brought us a lot of good tunes.
He
man.
Did. Adba. Thanks,
hey,
man.
You have a good day.
Be kind. All right. So the outcome of the story is that, you know, they were there for Donald Trump because that was when they knew that Mrs. Clinton was going to end coal mining, and that was their lives. We go to Mike. Mike, you're on a radio show. 98 will be the high today. Thanks, man. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Peter. Yeah, you know, you're dead on when you talk about the what changed in the U.S. was the rise of the multinationals and the military-industrial complex. You know, we've lost about 12 million jobs, good paying jobs, you know, to Republic of China, Cambodia, Taiwan, Thailand, and so forth.
Absolutely.
And like you said, with our Congress no longer represents the people. And that's what we had back in the 40s and 50s and 60s, is Congress actually represented, the people. You know, they were, I'll use the word, a conservative back then had a balanced, they believed in a balanced budget. They believed in, you know, protecting the people, protecting wages, protecting Social Security, protect the vets. And they really, and you know, look at Reagan. Reagan was a huge, a tariff fan. He wanted to protect American jobs.
Saved Harley Davidson. He really did.
Saved Harley Davidson. Now we have, you know, these people in office that it's free trade, export your jobs overseas. And lowering corporate tax rates, not having a balanced budget. But if you look at just the raw numbers, I mean, 70% of Republicans say their party does not represent them.
But there's such a schizophrenia in the Republican Party right now. I mean, truly schizophrenic. The Democrats right now, the Democratic Party is being run by AOC and the lunatics, the Bernies and the lunatics on the left. And that's another thing the Republican Party can use if they will, if they are smart enough to do that. I'm convinced now that if the Republican Party in Colorado will win, which I'm not so sure, but they have to go into the Hispanic population, which is, you know, by and large, culturally conservative, and all the things that they attend church and you go to all these different things, you can tap into that. You just can't go in there. I'm reading this book on the Coors strike, and there's big problems there, and those were Republicans. So always in that mixture, Mike, that you have always been a good caller over. But the rise of the multinational corporations and the fact the United States was keeping despots on the throne, whether it was in Vietnam or in Cuba prior to Castro or the Shah of Iran, or, you know, I give you a million places. And we did that. And I just finished The Life of Francisco Franco. And there's my answer to that is, Peter, you got to get a life if you're reading Franco's life. But he was one of the first of those guys that they were going to overthrow, an elected government, although far left, but they were elected. I don't know, Bubba. I'm not that smart.
No, you are that smart, because you speak what you see. You speak not what's happening, but if the Republicans want to win, it's not about condemning the Democrats. You know, it is about connecting with connecting with Americans, connecting with both sides of the aisle. I think yesterday you talked about, the guy who won, who talked about, hey, we're going to build better highways. We're going to talk. I mean, you talk jobs. You talk about what impacts the people. But you can't talk guns and abortion. I mean, you can if you want to, but that's not nobody. I mean, honestly, if you want to win, it's not about guns and abortion.
No.
It is about the economy, stupid. I mean, what are the jobs? How about prescription health care? How about importing inexpensive generic drugs from Mexico and Canada? How about, there's a lot of things.
No.
But they don't want to.
They can't. I'm not sure. There's a civil war in the Republican Party, regardless of what they try and tell you isn't there. It is there. And yesterday in Texas, this guy wins a House seat. And he wins, but he was the Donald Trump endorsed his opponent. And the speech that they made that I read last night, he said it was more Reagan Republicanism. I thought, boy, bingo. You know, somebody hit the nail on the head. And there's another piece that appeared where they're talking about these Republican elected officials know the truth, but they're afraid to say it. And, you know, all this different kind of stuff. There's a moment coming. And the party must be ready, and it's not. And
the party, it likes the course they're on right now. They know that the American public is distracted with the Trump recount, with the the Black Lives Matter. And meanwhile, what they're doing is the effective tax rate, corporate tax rate in America, that's 7.6%. You know, they're still drug prices are still high.
But we have been.
We have a record trade deficit last month.
Sure.
We are still exporting our jobs. Corporations,
sure.
Apple is
sure.
posting record profits. The corporations are all posting record profits and not paying taxes. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, in my humble opinion, that's really what the multinational corporations, all they want is record profits.
Remember,
and protect our patents.
When they take their corporate headquarters offshore, and that's the moment. Mm-hmm. Halliburton took its corporate headquarters offshore. There's a wonderful book, it was years ago, entitled Sovereignty at Bay, about the rise of the multinationals. They care nothing of a flag. They don't operate under
a
flag. You could say what you want to say about General Motors or General Electric or, the big corporations, but they were loyal to the country. And there were two Charlies, Engine Charlie and Electric Charlie. And Electric Charlie ran General Electric, and Engine Charlie ran General Motors, and they're both named Wilson, Charlie Wilson, and but Engine Charlie, he was the model for General Bull Moose, in Little Abner they had that General Bull Moose. He was the knockoff for that, but they loved America. Now, and these were the guys that put Ronald. Remember when Ronald Reagan hosted General Electric's theater, and there's this great legacy of Reagan with these people, but. Now it's You know, I don't know if Ford Motor Company is, you know, say what, and Henry Ford's not a good guy, but
right.
But doesn't make you a good or a bad guy. You know, Henry Ford sold trucks to the Bolsheviks, and people don't
right.
they don't want to remember that, but they did that. I'm jammed up. I really am at. I don't know if it's a crossroads moment. My great fear is what happens to the country.
Well, mine is too. But we've been on this path for 50 years, Peter. Of the destruction of the infrastructure, exporting jobs, a $29 trillion trade deficit, and both parties not representing the middle class.
They don't.
And the only way to fix it, in my humble opinion, is term limits, publicly financed
sure.
campaigns, and we have to put tariffs. And Donald Trump, you know, with all his flaws and everything, he was right
I
because
agree.
He embraced what Reagan did, but he only did 5 and 10% tariffs. You have to do 50% tariffs on all low-wage nations. You don't want to cut out Germany and Japan and so forth. They're not low-wage nations. You got to put the 50% tariffs on Cambodia, China, you know, if they're paying below a certain low wage, 50% tariff, and that will bring back 12, 20 million jobs
sure.
to America, you'll have the rise of the middle class again.
Yeah, I agree with you about Trump. Trump was bringing jobs back. They were U-turning the jobs and getting them out of there and bringing – and I told that story about meeting those coal miners in Cleveland. Hillary Clinton was going to put coal mining out of business because she believed in the Green New Deal. And or words to that effect. And the coal miners who, I mean, you go back to there's no time, no place, nowhere that a coal miner in West Virginia isn't a Democrat. Back to FDR.
Right.
And, I mean, Harry Truman had those moments where they were going to put the GIs into coal mines and all that kind of stuff. But Democrats and coal miners have been hand in glove. And those guys were there for Donald Trump. And as the man said, and then they blew it. But how do you get that guy back? You're not going to get that guy back. He doesn't want any – I mean, I don't think he wants anything to do with Kamala Harris. So how do you go find the guy that he wants something to do with? Don't know.
Well, that Reagan-type person is there. There's a lot
Guaranteed.
Of Americans that are Reagan-style and have that mentality of America first. But the Republican Party does not want him, nor does the – Democratic Party. They want Jeb Bush's.
Sure they do.
You know, they want the guy that went to the Bilderberg Group. They want the guy who went to the Billionaire Beach Club. That's the guy they want because that's who puts millions of dollars into their pockets as lobbyists.
And I believe that they sculpted they sculpted John Hickenlooper into that boy that they wanted. He was the good little boy from mayor to governor to senator. A Bilderberger himself, who has done nothing that we're aware of since taking the job and going to D.C., but he is the perfect. Remember, Obama was the same thing. The Clintons were the same thing.
Yes, we've had this for 50 years.
Yeah, I mean,
50 years we've had these guys.
Gerald Ford, of all people, was a Bilderberger, and you see, and who was the two guys that weren't Reagan and Trump?
Yep.
I don't know.
So, but again, we're fighting – again, the real fight in America is not against the Democrat people or the Republican people. It's against the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. They're against us. And that's why Congress currently has a 92% disapproval rating. Only 8% of people in America feel Congress represents them. And we no longer live in a representative republic. We live in an oligarchy. Where the powerful adult, you know, control us and pass regulations we live by. But, Peter, I got to get back to work, I love talking to you, sir.
You're kind, man. All right, but one of the moments that Barbara Bush showed you the truth, remember Grandma, Barbara Bush, she dubbed Prince Bandar, the things that Bandar must have known about 9/11. She called him Bandar Bush. And then they called Bill Clinton their other son. What does that tell you? Our other son, Bill Clinton, who was a Lolita Express man with Dershowitz and the rest of them, and Bandar being Bandar Bush. Think about something for me. If you own a home and you're paying a lot less for it right now, it's true. The Federal Housing Finance Agency has decided to eliminate a major refi fee. That means on your next refi, could be even cheaper. This is great right now. Essentially, be able to save $500 on $100,000 borrowed. Pair that with historically low rates that we're seeing, and it's a good reason to get, a free mortgage review from American. I did it. There's no upfront fees. There's no hidden fees. You could be saving $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year. It's like getting a paycheck. And they tighten up the amount of time you owe. American, call them. 303-695-7000. This morning, call them. Okay, here we go. 303-695-7000. All right, I'm ready to save some money. Get the free mortgage review. There's no obligation, no pressure, no upfront fees, no hidden fees. 303-695-7000. Apply online, AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334. Regulated by the Division of Real Estate. Morning, everybody. Thursday, the 29th morning of July. Wow, July flew by. 26 after the hour. First time since we cracked at 5 a.m. We have open lines. You can get on the show. 303-696-1971. When did you lose trust? When did you lose trust with the government of the United States, be it a Republican in office or a Democrat in office? Where did it go off the tracks? When did you lose your load? When did you say no, no more? 98 will be the high today, and tomorrow evening storms, and everybody's gearing up on Sturgis. And the bad news, yesterday sad news, ZZ Top bassist Dusty Hill is gone at 72. And I also read Ron Popeil died. And I brought it up with Tommy, the pocket fisherman. That guy could pitch. Because one of the cool things you can do in this business, if you're any good at it, is learn to sell. Ron Popeil could pitch. Remember the pocket fisherman? But the one I remember was Hair in a Can. These guys, and we later found out that a lot of television anchors who had about as much hair as I do would go in there and they spray the tops of their heads black or white or whatever the hell color it was and look like they had more hair. Ron Popeil invented that, Hair in a Can. 303-696-1971, your turn. When did you lose trust? And also,
speaking of this, let's dive into Ron Popeil. I was just checking out online, and some people have made up some lists. One of the things I'd forgotten, it was originally called the Ronco Rhinestone Stud Setter.
Yes.
It's the Bedazzler.
Yeah, the Bedazzler.
Yeah, the Bedazzler. I'd forgotten about that one, but I like the name Ronco Rhinestone.
But named it after himself. Yeah, Ronco was named after, he's Ron Popeil.
Yeah.
And he named it after himself. And he made tons.
Other one is Mr. Microphone.
He made Come On Baby, come back and pick you up.
Yeah, Mr. Microphone. Oh, my God. A way to harass females at a distance. Yeah. That's fantastic.
The ad.
And to annoy your brothers and sisters.
The ad, and I don't know if you recall it, but the ad would be a couple of guys riding around in a convertible.
Yeah, and they'd be talking to the gal. Yeah,
and it'd be women walking up. Yeah. Hey, honey.
Yeah.
We're coming right back.
And that was a good idea at that time, yeah.
And Ron Popeil, and he also invented, there was a barbecue gimmick that he had.
Yeah, and he had the food dehydrator.
And he had the pocket fisherman.
Yeah, pocket fisherman.
And boy, it really catches fish. I mean, he was the best. He could pitch. And that's my mentor, the late, great Bob Lee. During the Great American Depression, he worked the streets of Detroit, and he was like the ingenue. He later becomes the ingenue kid on radio shows, but he would work a gimmick with the knife guy, and he worked all kinds of gimmicks.
Yeah.
He was
I didn't know. He's also the Chop-O-Matic guy.
Absolutely.
I had a Chop-O-Matic.
Vegematic. Vegematic.
Yeah, Vegematic, but Chop-O-Matic as well. Yeah, Chop-O-Matic. He did the O-Matic. That was one of his branding things that he started.
And remember, they had the knife that would cut beer cans and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody's out there with a beer.
Yeah, his Star Plus knives. Star knives.
You could get the knives.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, and it was rotisserie and barbecue.
He was the best.
He had everything. Those infomercials, you'd sit there and you're like, maybe I do need an Inside the Egg Scrambler.
I say that what happened to talk radio when they started green tea cures cancer.
Yeah.
And they started buying it. And went, man, I'm a kid in the business. And on the weekend, you'd sell the show. And the station would still continues as we speak. And these guys come on and they have the answers to any of your life's questions. And they would have. But green tea cures cancer is the jacket I've always given those shows.
Here's one I forgot. He invented the solid flavor injector. It was a syringe with a large plastic needle. And you would put, inject fillings into, like, you know, dried fruit, small vegetables, mustard, into candies and hams. And
I think you could dehydrate plums and prunes and stuff.
That, he did electric food.
He was brilliant.
Yeah.
And he made a bunch.
He had a pasta maker.
He made a ton of money.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. So,
man. The smokeless ashtray. I've forgotten about that one. Smokeless.
I remember
ashtray.
The smokeless ashtray.
Yeah, I remember seeing smokeless ashtrays in radio studios. Because of that, yeah.
You know, when we were talking about cigarettes yesterday on a radio show, you know, looking at things that we've decided in public health, you know, we're talking about the vaccine, but in public drinking cups and smoking cigarettes. And I'm a kid starting out in the business, and everybody smoked. I mean, everybody smoked back then. But one of the cardinal sins that when your shift was over, you cleaned the ashtray.
Yeah.
And if you came in and you sat down, and the guy would have to, and I did it for them, they did it for me. You cue the guy's records, you cue the open, as it's called, always open with a fast song, and you cue his next song after that. Usually there'd be two or four turntables. You pull his whole hour of commercials, pull his carts, tune everything up, everything, and the hour was set. And you clean the ashtray, and oftentimes you'd put a new roll of paper on the UPI machine and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the ticker tape.
That's right. The ticker was in the other room, and you had the guy's hour. And so when he came in and sat down, he hit the open, you know, next, and the big run-up, and then he'd hit the fast tune and open the show. If you didn't clean that ashtray, and we're talking so much lately about Allen Berg was like this horrific smoker. I mean, I smoked hard. I was a heavy smoker. Berg smoked Pall Malls. And they're you know, unfiltered, like the length of your finger. I remember Pall Malls. And he would, and we all did, you know, light them off. You know, like you take this cigarette and put it in your mouth and light it off of the butt of the other
one. Yeah, chain smoking.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And he'd be, if I can visualize him working, he's waving his hand in the air, but he's got a lit cigarette. And we all smoked, but you had to dump the ashtrays. And the other one we were talking about yesterday, and somebody gave me a text on it, I remember I had to go, I don't know, the teacher's lounge or whatever the hell it was. And you opened that, you knocked on a door, and then some teacher, it was like seeing a teacher in Kroger's.
Yeah.
You know, what, there's a teacher in here, you know, like you, they don't exist. They don't exist out, but they open up the door and look like London.
Yeah, there'd be fog that would roll out slowly. Yeah. It's like there's almost a haze.
Yeah.
You almost have to walk in there going, huh? And it also smelled like old cigarettes and bad coffee. Like really bad burnt coffee, like when it sits in the burner for too long.
And they'd be in there, and then it was the same thing I was telling somebody. After church, the priest would have a cigarette, stand outside and saying goodbye to people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like everybody. My dad was just a terrible, and it killed him. That's what helped kill him. So we have made these decisions. Maybe we better not do this. All right, 6:33, 27 before the hour, and we made decisions on public health. It's like, here it goes. And I was trying to tell somebody the first child labor laws, animal cruelty, when we decided that it was, you know, not a good thing to be able to beat a horse to death in the street, those laws existed before anything for child labor existed. And when TR brings this stuff in, Woodrow Wilson reverses it all, and they put children back in factories. All right. Where did you lose trust, if you ever had it? Maybe now maybe younger people never had the trust. When did you lose your trust? There's an art to putting together the perfect kitchen and bathroom remodels. You want the best countertops, wholesale pricing. Mitch Flory at the Art of Granite. This is our guy. Mitch, expert, is a craftsman. He can turn granite and quartz and marble, other materials, into really true works of art right in your home. You can schedule a virtual consultation with Mitch by calling 303, write this down, 303-386-5919, 303-386-5919. Visit his website, artofgranite.com. Start dreaming about your new countertops. Mitch provides the granite from his own warehouse at wholesale pricing. No markups. You can get the most for your budget. Mention 710 KNUS and get a bathroom countertop free with the purchase of your fantastic new kitchen countertops. Get a kitchen or bathroom sink free. A purchase of any countertop package, call a man, 303-386-5919. Please, I mean, you can do a total remodel. Make it look great, 303-386-5919. Such a good guy. Artofgranite.com, artofgranite.com, artofgranite.com. So when did you suddenly realize that the government was running a con? Somebody said The slaughter of women and children at Waco in 93 opened my eyes. That's a story. That Waco story is a story. There are so many different things that have happened. One fellow brought up John Kennedy's assassination or murder or hit, whatever you want to call it. I think that changed a lot of people. And when people began to come to terms with the Warren Commission, the Warren Report was hurt. And I don't think there's anybody that has ever waded through this that can read the Warren Commission. Oh, but it's like reading the 9/11 Commission and knowing that the Bush people and Cheney and others removed parts of it that you can't read. They suppressed it. There are pages that are suppressed. And we were mentioning, you know, Bandar Bush, and also their other son, Bill Clinton. And you think about presidents that we were talking about this in Open Lines, presidents that you knew loved the country, Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan loved America. I don't think there's even any question about that. I think Harry Truman loved America. I think Dwight Eisenhower loved America. I'm not sure about a lot of them. You know, who were they loyal to? And one more thing, too, is the murder rates in the city and watching the people talking about, well, we're talking about the speech given the state of the city, not a mention of all the intense violence. Remember, four people killed in 2 days by gunfire, two women, a 16-year-old boy. There were people killed again yesterday, shot again yesterday. We're going into this place where Denver, Colorado, little Denver, being, again, we talk about the vice, the squeeze. We have Chicago on one side and San Francisco on the other with the insanity of homelessness. And it's just coming together and coming together and coming together. And we are headed in a really bad direction. Attention, Republican Party. Again, one of those new opportunities. Look at this insanity and take it from there. But there had to be a moment. And you go, oh, wait a minute. But if they're doing this now, are they doing this then? Somebody sends me Ruby Ridge. Ruby Ridge was a big con. Ruby Ridge, replete with problems, what happened at Ruby Ridge. And here's one. And we've been sitting on this letter that got sent around urging white parents not to send their kids to top schools. White guilt is like this really stupid thing, but it exists. The letter continues, and it's called from Dallas Justice Now, and they're urging wealthy white parents who have kids that can get into Ivy League schools, don't go. And I'll just read this to you. We're asking you to pledge that your children will not apply or attend any Ivy League school or U.S. News and World Report top 50 schools. Do not have children under 18 when we ask you to pledge to hold your white privileged friends, family, and neighbors with children to this standard. These schools have afforded white families privilege for generations. Having your children attend these schools takes away space from students of color who really need the job opportunities, education, and influence that these schools provide. What do you do with that? 303-696-1971. Summer is here. And we had a really great lunch on Tuesday with Dave Nestor and the guys from Urban Lights. And it really is the place. All your lighting and ceiling fan needs. Ceiling fans are the answer to every question you have. Just makes the noise, moves the air around at night. Urban Lights has the latest in LED lighting all lit up on display. Hundreds of smart Wi-Fi ceiling fans, Bluetooth compatible. They sync with smart home devices. They have the best selection in any room. And your home indoors or out. They have 20,000 square foot stylized galleries. You got to walk into place. Like if you're ADD, it's like, I can't take this place. Local lighting experts, it is so cool. Find the right size and the type of lighting with interactive hands-on light labs. And the people who work there, they're salespeople, but they're like, I just took pictures. I took my little phone and took these pictures of two places I needed lighting. And I took it in. And they just took it over from there and ended up with really cool stuff. Drop in the showroom today, indoor and outdoor lighting. Schedule a free design appointment. Get 40% off all lighting. Select ceiling fans and home decor the weekends. And put your trust in a local business that has easy returns, free local delivery, and price matching. 7 days a week, find them just south of I-25 on Santa Fe between Florida and Mississippi. UrbanLightsDenver.com. It really is a cool place. Nestor's a good man. Tell him I sent you. 10% discount, because I said it, off the guaranteed low prices. Urban Lights. Another one, the POW/MIA cover-up. And that's another one of those. What's the truth? You know, did Henry Kissinger leave those men there? There's a great story about Jimmy Carter. And Jimmy Carter had an uncle that came home from war a year late. And people thought he was dead. And he walked up the driveway. That's a true story. And I actually asked Jimmy about that. Because I'd read it in all the literature about what happened in leaving people behind. And you know, it was all these stories about people that went into Soviet Union that they never were allowed to come back, or what happened to guys from Korea that never came home, and the POW/MIAs and didn't come back. And Jimmy Carter had an uncle that everybody thought was dead, and he showed up. So, again, moments with the government. 303-696-1971, your turn. Everyone's calls right after this. And Ron Popeil is dead, 86 years of age, man. That guy, the pocket fisherman, Ron Popeil could sell. That's when TV was TV. When did you lose trust? Because, and again, you got, I mean, I don't know, you got, and I love the other story that I'll take it here. The COVID-19 outbreak related to Major League Baseball All-Star Game hosted in Denver. Here's the WHAMO showstopper. Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment data states the outbreak was reported to public health officials July 21. They didn't say anything. I love it. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, as I do the reader voice, states the outbreak was reported to the public health officials July 21. And they never said anything. They covered that up. They moved all the homeless mooches and also those crazies in those hotel in the hotel room with the guns. Boy, that Major League Baseball weekend, that covered up a lot of crap, didn't it? That hotel where they found these people, $800 a night, well, they're heroin dealers. Right. You know, heroin dealers do that all the time. Find the most expensive hotel rooms downtown that's covered with cops at the time, bring a bunch of guns in a room, and a minimum amount of black tar heroin, and they're gone. They're in the gulag right now. They're in the federal system. The COVID-19 outbreak related to Major League Baseball's All-Star Game hosted in Denver. The Department of Colorado's Department of Public Health and Environment learned of the outbreak that included 14 people on July the 21st. What's the things that make you go, And they did what? They didn't do anything. They didn't tell anybody. Why? Why didn't they tell anybody? Why? It's the story of the hotel room. It's the story of, where's all the bums? Where are the unsheltered? Never mind. You know, like, look over there. There's nothing to see here. Move along. There's nothing to see. But I saw, you know, this guy over here with a needle in his arm like 5 days ago. Never mind. He's okay. What about those people in a hotel room? No, come on. Now you're just getting crazy. Are there people getting sick? No one's getting sick. I love that. Department of Health and Environment learned of the outbreak that included 14 people on July 21st. Shh. Don't say nothing. Whatever you do, because Jared Polis has opened everything back up again. And I got a sneaking suspicion they're going to close it all back down. Your turn after this. Thursday morning, everyone. 29th of July. 710 KNUS. I'm Peter Boyles. Good morning. 98 will be the high, 95 tomorrow. Weekend is here, Saturday, Sunday. Back to work Monday. There's a line open. We go to Tracy. Tracy, you're on a radio show. Good morning. Thank you.
Hey, how's it going, Peter?
Pretty good, man. Thank you.
You remember me? I talked to you here a while back about that old Crowley thing.
I do, of course, man. Good morning.
Did you ever find that out or no?
I don't.
You never did find out where it existed or no?
No, I don't. I think I don't. No.
I used to listen to this old. Do you know the radio station up in Johnstown, 1360?
I know that it's there, but I don't listen to it. I haven't listened to it.
Well, years ago, I used to listen to it, and there was a guy on there named Dr. Stan Monteith from California.
All right.
And he had the Secretary of Education on there. Her name was Charlotte Iserby. And she was the Secretary of Education for Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
And I just wanted to tell you about her that you ought to go look into her. She put out a publishing about outcome-based education. She put out some videos and stuff, and she talked quite a bit about it.
What did she say?
You really won't like the outcome of it because Ronald Reagan, you know, he's not so favorable about some things, you know.
Well, give me your part of Reagan you don't like.
Well, it's nothing to do with me. I'm just telling you.
Don't tell me about a radio show. Tell me what you think.
Well, I'm telling you what she said.
I know, Tracy. I want to know what you think. I mean, I'm not going to go back in time and listen to a radio show. So, what do you think?
Well, you could look up Charlotte Iserby and outcome-based education, and then you can see her documentary.
Save me all the trouble and tell me what troubles you.
Well, what troubled me is what she said about Ronald Reagan in the communist system that they instituted.
And tell me about Ronald Reagan because he brought down the Berlin Wall and brought down the Soviet Union.
They removed the wall and brought the education system here. Ronald, they brought that type of education into the United States.
Education system in this country has been what it's been, but Ronald Reagan ended, along with Margaret Thatcher and the Pope and the fact that the whole thing was corrupted.
That's the reason I called you, because I hear all these links that you speak about, you know, with all these people through all these books that you read. So mm-hmm. I wanted to share, but
you think that Ronald Reagan, I don't want to put words in your mouth, then brought the Soviet system into this country?
The education system, the Secretary of Education that served Ronald Reagan, she's the one that wrote
He was only in office 8 years, and it was in his second term that they brought that down. So he might have not, did he have enough time to do the entire, I mean, I'm serious, it's a serious question. I've never heard anybody ever say that before. I'm willing to listen first time, but...
Well, that all you have to do is...
No, I don't know. Well, okay.
Charlotte Iserby was the Secretary of Education for Ronald Reagan.
She had a seat in his cabinet. She was in the cabinet?
Yes,
Reagan?
She did. She served in Ronald Reagan's cabinet.
And she said again one more time what?
He said that he brought the communist education system into America.
That's difficult for me, but
well,
consider.
Just go research it.
No, I'm more than willing to look, but.
Could I say something else also?
Sure, of course.
You know, I heard you speak about the Knights of Columbus and putting In God We Trust on it.
But they did, yes.
Okay. Well, years ago, I was down off of Colfax at the ARC, the thrift store. You know what I'm talking about?
Think so.
All right, well, I picked up a little publishing from the Masons from 1935,
and it
spoke about the dollar bill and the symbolism it is on it.
What I'm talking I'm talking about the Pledge of Allegiance. It was during the Red Scare and McCarthyism, and the Knights were instrumental in getting In God, in the Pledge of Allegiance, having God put in the pledge.
Well, what I'm saying is that the Knights of Columbus are quite aware that Aleister Crowley created the Great Seal on the dollar. All you have to do
I know who Aleister Crowley is, the Great Seal. I know the history of it. That Great Seal was way before Aleister Crowley, I think, walked the earth.
Well, okay, so it was Albert Pike then, you know, that they searched for that illuminated eye.
But the illuminated eye, the eye, the all-seeing eye, has been in, I would urge you to read Joseph Campbell. That has been a symbol that's been around long before any of those men.
Well, it's all over the Egyptian obelisk.
Absolutely.
You know, did you know there's a Syrian black obelisk is in Central Park?
I know they did a lot of stealing and brought stuff here.
Well, you know, it says not to move the boundary stones in the Bible, but yet they picked up that boundary stone and they put it in Central Park.
You ever been to Paris and seen all the things they stole from the Egyptians and put there?
That's disgusting. Grave robbing.
Yes, it is. I agree. Same thing is true. If you went into the museums of and saw skulls and stuff of Indians,
that's
wrong.
Disgusting.
I agree with you. I don't want to walk in and see my grandma's head in a place.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it says not to touch those things in the Bible. Actually wrong to touch dead people. Did you know that?
No, I didn't hear that, but.
It's true.
Where can I read in the Bible where it says don't touch dead people?
Get your concordance and it says not to touch the dead thing.
Okay.
You know, you have to go get, you know, there's thousands of concordants. There's so many translations.
Yeah, I know there are.
Blow your mind.
I agree with that, too. Tracy, you're a smart guy. What do you do for real?
You know, I work for Tri-City Cycle, so it's good.
Oh, that's right. You're a biker. That's right. I remember you now.
Exactly. Yeah. Remember, do you know Bill Bauer?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So he was a radio guy for a little while also.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know, so I've been around a long
time,
man.
That door's always open for you. You call again. I'll go look at this. Thank you.
Only once a week, but please check out Charlotte Iserby and outcome-based education, because put a lot of information out there.
Well, look, you're a good caller. You make people think. All right, man. Take care of yourself.
You can discern those things better than I can, so please go look at
Never heard that one, but I'll look. Thanks. All right, it's Thursday morning, everyone. Open lines continue. When did you lose the trust and faith? What happens next? 710 KNUS. I'm Peter Boyles. This is Radio Free Denver, good old 710 KNUS.